about his spirit today. So the message is entitled, The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and have under that a precious gift from our Messiah. The Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, which is a precious gift from our Messiah. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, we are so grateful and thankful to you for the many blessings and gifts that you have poured out upon us. And especially, Lord, for your death on the cross, for redeeming us by your blood, and for sending us your Spirit. Lord, you did not leave us alone. You did not just purchase us and redeem us so that one day we would have heaven, but not give us the ability to please you. But Lord, you have given us your Spirit, your holy wind. What an incredible gift of yourself that you have given to us. And so, Lord, we come before you today and we ask for leading and guidance from the Ruach HaKodesh, from the Holy Spirit, as we look at your word today. We pray this in Yeshua's name. Amen. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is not a Christian idea. What I mean by that is it was already in Judaism way before the religion of Christianity that we know of today. Now, as I've said many, many times, Christianity and Judaism are the same. They're the same belief. They're the same religion. Now, I know that 2,000 years after Yeshua came, Christianity looks a lot different from Judaism today in a lot of ways. But there's essential things that are still very much the same. This was probably made really clear to me the first time I ever walked into a Catholic Mass, which I was doing in trepidation and fear because, you know, my people for thousands of years, you know, if you say Catholic, we say death. We're going to die. You know, that's just what's been put in our mind. And not necessarily true, but that's what's been put in our mind. That's our perception. And so the first time I walked into a Catholic Mass, I was like, okay, what goes on in here? Okay. Been in a lot of Baptist churches. There's not a lot of ordinances in a Baptist church. You know, you sing, you praise the Lord, you worship the Lord, and then you have a message. That's pretty much it. Been in a lot of Jewish synagogues, and I'm comfortable with that, being Jewish, but Catholic Mass, scary. You know what I found out very quickly was, wait a second, that's like a synagogue service. Wait, they just did the blessing right then, before they did this and after they did this, and wait a second, that's a synagogue service. That's exactly what it was. It was a synagogue service that had been taken and modified a little bit here, a few extra blessings put in. Instead of the Torah, they had the elements, which represented the body and blood of our Messiah. They had the elements put away in an ark, okay? And they would bring those out. Now, isn't he the Word of God made flesh? Wow, okay. And you see, all this, as I started to watch, I started to realize, you know what really happened here was basically when things changed and they decided to throw out all the Jewish things, they copied the synagogue service, they made some changes, they added a few blessings like the one over the Blessed Mary, Mother Mary, you know, they put that in there. They added a few other things, but basically it's a synagogue service. Basically it's a Torah service. So at that point, I'm like, this is quite interesting. Maybe the Lord is going to use that one day to his glory. He uses everything to his glory. Well, in the last few years, we've seen that begin to happen. As even in Catholic congregations and churches, they've returned to that first century type of worship, even adding in the Shema. And things like that, that, you know, and in Hebrew, actually, instead of Latin. It's amazing. Okay, God can do these types of things. But the point of that I brought this up for is that the Holy Spirit was not invented by the Jews. It wasn't invented by the Christians. It didn't come only at Pentecost. The Holy Spirit existed for way, way, way before the world was ever founded. Okay? Always existed. God has always existed in the three expressions of who he is: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. He's always existed that way. So the Holy Spirit is not an invention of the church to make us somehow better. Okay? In fact, it had nothing to do with the church per se, unless you understand the church to be those who have trusted and believed in Yeshua as the Messiah, who were in the first century in Acts chapter 2, all Jewish. The Holy Spirit came on all Jewish people in Acts chapter 2, who were meeting in Jerusalem to celebrate a Jewish feast. My point is, the Holy Spirit is a very Jewish idea. And it should be, because our whole religion, our whole faith, whether you call it Judaism or Christianity, the trusting in the Messiah, it's all from the Lord. It's all from the Lord, and it's one. It's one. And you can try to separate it out, and people have over the years. In fact, we still have people today trying to keep things separate, trying to keep all the Jewish aspect out of their faith, and you cannot, because our very Messiah is Jewish. So the Ruach HaKodesh, that's how you say it in Hebrew, really means the holy wind, the wind that is holy or set apart. It's a set apart wind, comes from God. So Yeshua says in John 14:26, but when the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, whom the Lord will send in my name, when he comes, the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So first of all, Yeshua uses this word comforter. And in the Greek, it's parakletos. It means intercessor, consoler, advocate, comforter, someone who brings comfort. A presence that brings comfort. Basically, what it's saying here is that the Father will send the Comforter, the advocate, in my name. He will send this consoler. So you and I as believers are not left without help. When you and I become believers, it's not just a matter of getting redeemed. We have the Holy Spirit. It comes to live within us. And you know what? No matter how often we hear this, we many times don't live like we understand this. I struggle with this. I think we all struggle with really being led by the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, not just being led so we can do something at service, but walking every single day, our life led by him, by the Holy Spirit, and comforted, entering into that comfort. You and I have a comforter. We don't need to go to other people to get comforted. We can go to the Lord. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't encourage each other, because the Lord uses us to encourage each other. He uses us to sharpen each other as well. He works in many ways in our life. You know, one of the best things, and I've said this many times before, that I learned in my marriage, which can apply to all relationships, was that marriage was not about making you happy, but about making you holy. And you can apply that to every relationship that you have. And if I look at a relationship, if I'm looking at a relationship to say, I want to be happy in this relationship, well, guess what? My expectations are not always going to be met. In fact, most of the time, they won't be met. Okay? My relationship with my wife, my relationship with my children, my relationship with the other people in the congregation doesn't always make me happy. However, as I surrender to the Lord and I let him do the work he wants to do, it can make me holy. It can be part of the process that God uses. Because even if Mike's attitude towards me is wrong, I'm going to pick on him because he's my father-in-law and he probably won't kick me out of the family. I know he might. But even if Mike's attitude towards me is wrong, I have a choice how I'm going to respond to him. Now, if I respond in the wrong attitude back to him, then guess what? I now have to confess that to the Lord and to him. However, if I respond led by the Spirit in the right way, and even if I don't, I learn from that interaction how to be more like Yeshua. So that helps me. See, the Holy Spirit is not just about making us feel good. Yes, he is our intercessor. Yes, he is our comforter. But he is also the one who teaches us. You know that word for teach is also discipline. Okay? That's the same word. He disciplines. He's the one that works in our life and teaches us all things. Reminds us of the things that Yeshua said. So this comforter, this consoler that God has given us, this helper, is also for the purpose of guiding us. And we have to submit to the Holy Spirit, don't we? And even in situations where others are not doing what they should do, it's still our responsibility to be led by the Holy Spirit and still do what we should do. Because that's how we grow closer to Yeshua. And you know what I found many times when I don't like something my wife is doing? Which happens very rarely because she's always doing everything great. But anyways, if there are times, if I don't like something that my wife is doing, you know what I should do? If I pray for her, many times God either changes her heart or changes my heart. And what happens there is the Holy Spirit intervenes. And pretty soon a thing that could have been a big problem actually ends up not being such a big problem because the Lord works it out. Or I learn. Now, if I make the wrong, which I do quite often, if I say the wrong thing, once again, I can make a decision at that point. I can either let that become a big problem, or I can confess that to the Lord and let the Holy Spirit discipline me on my attitude and the way I acted. Either way, what we want to do, what we want to see happen, is we want to grow in our relationship with God. The Holy Spirit is there to make us more like Yeshua. Okay, if the Holy Spirit is there to make us more like Yeshua, guess what? That's not going to be an easy road. Some people base their whole understanding of the Holy Spirit on how peaceful they feel. Well, I just don't feel peace. You know what? When the Holy Spirit is disciplining me, I don't feel peace. And I shouldn't feel peace. How many kids will tell you when they're being spanked that they feel peaceful? Are being put in the corner, that they feel peaceful. No, of course we don't. This was a struggle for me for a long time. You know what? You and I, to be led by the Spirit, to have the Holy Spirit, doesn't mean we always feel peaceful. Now, we know if we don't, that there's usually a problem here, and we need to give it to the Lord. But that doesn't mean the Holy Spirit left. That doesn't mean we don't have the Holy Spirit just because we don't feel peaceful. No, it means we need to do something about how we feel. We need to give it to the Lord. We need to humble ourselves. The Comforter, defined as the Holy Spirit, not just a comforter, sorry, it should be a, I think, but the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Wind from the Lord. Defined as the Holy Spirit, or Holy Wind, the wind that comes from the Lord, that he has put within us. That's pretty awesome, isn't it? That his wind, he has blown into us. Now, this is very interesting. It's sent by the Father in Yeshua's name. Now, we've talked about before how the body of Messiah is the bride of Yeshua. Okay, he's our groom. He's our bridegroom. Well, there is an ancient Jewish practice. There's an ancient Jewish practice that they would do when a couple would get engaged. Okay? The father of the groom would give a gift to the family of the bride. It was called a mohar. A gift from the father of the groom to the bride's family was called a mohar. John 15, 26. Let's look at that. Yochanan 15, 26. Let's take a look at the mohar that we were given. And by the way, the bride would usually share in this blessing. So John 15, 26 says, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." He will testify of me. "But when the Helper comes, which I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." Now, in another place, Yeshua refers to the Holy Spirit as a gift from the Father. Okay? Basically, the Holy Spirit is our mohar as the bride of Messiah. The Holy Spirit is the gift that comes from the Father that he has given to us, which seals the covenant that he has made with us. See, he made a covenant with us, and that covenant was by his blood. And to seal that covenant with each one of us, he gives us this gift, this engagement gift from the Father called the Ruach HaKodesh. That's pretty cool that we have a gift given to us by our Father. He's become our Father too because of our relationship with the Lord. But we're also the bride of Messiah. And so he's given us this gift to seal that covenant. And the gift is the Holy Spirit. And it goes on to say, the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, will teach you all things. It is the Holy Spirit that is our teacher and instructor regarding the Word of God. You and I cannot understand God's Word apart from the Holy Spirit. One page. Let's look. Just compare that to the Word of God that we have. Where you can take a prophecy, you can take something in God's Word and look 5,000 years back. And all of a sudden you see the same thing was said. That God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. My God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change. It's not by accident. It's not by some weird conspiracy. It's not this line of people that have wanted to control everybody throughout the ages that have come up with this connection in Scripture. Continuity. The continuity in Scripture comes from one place. It comes from the Holy Spirit. It comes from the Lord. The same Spirit that talked to Moses, through Moses, the same Spirit that prophesied through David, the same Spirit that prophesied through Isaiah and Jeremiah, is the Spirit that you and I have dwelling in us as believers. We're going to get to that in just a second, a verse that actually says that, and that just is so awesome. That's, you and I should be so excited about that all the time. That we have the Holy Spirit. We have this precious gift from our Father. The Father that we've been adopted by. See, what would happen, and this was also very interesting. I don't know. We'll see if we get back to it. But basically, The Spirit teaches us all things. It is the Holy Spirit that is our teacher and instructor regarding the Word of God. He teaches us all things that we need to know about God and life. Not just about God, but in every aspect of our life. You know, when I was going through college, I really don't like math. I really don't. Okay? I was not given the gift of math. Okay, I was also not given the gift of finance, as anybody who's worked with me in finances before knows. Okay, I'm not good at that stuff. I don't like that stuff. Okay, so I'm in chemistry class, and you know chemistry is full of math. Okay, it uses algebra mostly, but it has some other stuff, and it can get pretty complicated. So I'm trying to understand all of these equations and all of these things that they're talking about in chemistry. And so finally, I just took it to the Lord, and I said, Lord, you created all this. You created these laws. Yes, man discovered them. Man's been writing them and writing the mathematical equation. But God created them. You know them. So, Lord, show me. Because the teacher's not making any sense. So you teach me. By the end of that year, as I moved into the next year, I was a TA. I was a teacher's assistant because I understood it so well that the lady who was teaching it, who really didn't even like men, asked me to be her teacher's assistant. God answered that prayer, and I fell in love with chemistry. Weird, I know. But see, the Holy Spirit guides us and leads us in all aspects of our life, not just in our religious life. I hope you don't have a religious life. That's boring. It's about relationship with the Lord, not about religion. The Holy Spirit teaches us, leads us, guides us in all aspects of our life. There's nothing in our life that's outside. That should be outside of his control, but there is many times, isn't there? There's things we don't let the Holy Spirit control. There's things we don't let him in on. Yeah, we got the heater. I think we're the first people to use the heater or something, so it's cycling through. So just enjoy the lovely smell of burning dust. Because... And just look at it this way. We don't have to smell burning dust every week. So just enjoy it. Yeah, it'll only be one time. It'll be through, and then we'll have nice warm weather. Okay, so he teaches us all things, or nice warm heating, teaches us all things that we need to know about God and life. And he reminds us of the things that Yeshua has promised us. I love this. You know, it's basically like the Holy Spirit is constantly whispering in a still, small voice. Yeah, you know, like in our life, we hear a lot of voices, don't we? I made the mistake of in the middle of the night last night checking the weather, and then I decided, oh, I'll check the news. That was stupid. Then I couldn't sleep because of all the stupid things that are happening out there, all the horrible things that are happening. Oh, my goodness. Okay, that was a mistake. And then what I had to do was just give that to the Lord. But you know what? We hear a lot of voices today. And the Holy Spirit is whispering in that still small voice. That's the one we need to be listening to. And he's whispering from within because he lives in us as believers. If you're a believer, the Holy Spirit lives in you. And he's saying, he's reminding us of the things that Yeshua said. What is one of the things Yeshua said? Let not your heart be troubled. Neither let it be afraid. I go to prepare a place for you. Many, many places Yeshua says, I love you. Love you. Come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden. These are the things Yeshua is saying. So the Holy Spirit, now, here's the thing. We need to be putting the right thing in so that the Holy Spirit has something to work with. The Holy Spirit always works in conjunction with God's Word. Never goes against God's Word. This is our guide. If you're hearing something and you think it's from the Spirit, but it goes against God's Word, it's not from the Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will never tell us something that goes against God's Word. So we need to be putting God's Word into our minds. But it's the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding of God's Word. It's the Holy Spirit that reminds us of God's Word at the right time. At the right time. When we need it. So the Ruach HaKodesh reminds us of the things that Yeshua has promised us. It's a gentle reminder. It's a soft reminder. It's a loving reminder, because this is a precious gift given to Yeshua's precious bride, who all of you in this room that are believers, you're a part of the bride of Yeshua. And so that's why we have that gentle, precious spirit, that gentle, precious gift. And what the Holy Spirit also does is when we're doing something wrong, once again, still soft voice, but it's clear. No, that's wrong. You're hurting. You're hurting your relationship with God. You're breaking your relationship with your bridegroom. You're hurting that. Stop. Stop doing that. Come back to me. That's what the Holy Spirit is constantly drawing us back to the Father. And you know what? God is very patient. He's very patient. He takes his time. That's the other awesome part. It's the Lord does not force us to do anything. He's patient with us. He invites us. In Ezekiel 36, 24 through 27, and this is what I was talking about earlier, it actually says in Ezekiel that he will put his spirit within us, within his people. It says, then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. This is being said to Israel. This is being said to Israel. And yes, also to the body of Messiah, because the body of Messiah is grafted in to Israel. But we see the fulfillment of this prophecy through our Messiah, through Yeshua, and the gift that he gives us, the Mohar. He says, I will put my spirit within you. The Lord is talking to his people Israel and declaring that he will put his spirit into them. He will move them to follow his statutes and to carefully keep his commandments. His spirit will come to dwell in his people. Now, when he moves us, it is not a guilt trip. It is not legalism. When you are moved by the Holy Spirit to do something, you don't feel any of that. No, you're just moved by his Spirit. God does not want us to come under condemnation. In fact, it says there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Messiah Yeshua, who what? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So it's not about coming under condemnation. He moves us to follow his statutes and to carefully keep his commandments, because it's the Holy Spirit. If it's the Holy Spirit that's doing it, it's done right. Does that make sense? If it's the Holy Spirit that's doing it, it's done right. It's effective. If I'm trying to do something in my own strength, if I'm trying to keep Torah with my own power and my own strength, it's ineffective. Why is it ineffective? Because it's not pleasing God. It's my own ability. But if I'm being led by the Holy Spirit, always seasoned with grace, led by the Holy Spirit, then I'm going to be doing things that actually please the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. Maybe for you and me personally, we can be hard on ourselves, and that's okay sometimes. Sometimes we are too hard on ourselves. Sometimes in our pride, we're harder on ourselves than the Lord is in his discipline. Sometimes I think the Lord says, lighten up. I know, the Lord would never say that, right? Yeah, he would. Because some of us are so hard on ourselves, we can't even enjoy the Holy Spirit. We can't enjoy this wonderful gift he's given us. Because we're always beating up on ourselves. And the Lord says, stop it. If we're walking in the Spirit, we will fulfill the things of the Spirit. And you know what? We can start enjoying this walk with the Lord. And it won't be a burden. It won't be something hard to do. It'll be easy. You know what makes walking in the Spirit hard to do? My flesh. I don't want to surrender. That's what makes it hard to do. That's about it. Because if I surrender to the Lord, if I surrender to him, he does the work in me. He does the work through me. And yes, even when I have somebody, like the situation I had with my boss, who was never, ever, ever happy with anything I did down in Chico. Could never please the guy. Never please him. I tried really, really hard. And he'd come up with the one thing wrong in my program or whatever I was doing. And that's what he would focus on. So finally, I got really, really annoyed and irritated. I said, God, give me another job. Get me out of this job. This guy, I can never please him. That must be the answer, right? To run, to get a new job. Go find somebody that will appreciate me for all these great things I do. And you know what the Lord said to me? How are you treating your sons? How are you treating your boys? Lord, that's not what we're talking about. The Holy Spirit impressed upon my heart that I was treating my sons exactly the way my boss was treating me. That my focus was always on the bad things that they did. You left the door open. Go close the door, will you? How come you're always doing that? That my focus was on those things. And I felt the Lord say, if you repent of that, maybe things will change. So I did. I acknowledged that I was wrong in the way I was treating my sons. Didn't really do it so much with the daughters, but with the sons. Maybe with the daughters too, but mostly the sons. And I got back, literally that day, I got back to work. And my boss comes in, and he's like, you did a really good job on that. I'm looking at him going, are you okay? You have a fever? What have you been smoking? Because sometimes he did smoke things. Anyways, it's really bad when you're happy that somebody's drunk when they come in. But he wasn't. Wasn't any of those things. I'm like, what's wrong? And from then on, the relationship was completely different. God took care of it. God changed his focus as my focus changed. As I was willing to humble myself and admit my sin, God dealt with the person that was causing me all this problem. I mean, it was literally that day that God did this work. And from then on, our relationship has been different. I don't even work for him anymore. Well, I kind of do again now, but it's a pleasure now to work with him. Not like it used to be. See, God can do this work. The Holy Spirit working in us whispers these types of things to us, disciplines us when we're off. Don't always blame that on Satan. I don't feel peace. It must be Satan. No, usually I don't feel peace because I was in the flesh. I don't feel peace because I'm not walking in the Spirit. It's usually not Satan. Rarely, ever, Satan. Might be a demon, but not usually not even that. Usually it's my own flesh. And so if we're willing to surrender, then we learn and we grow. So the Holy Spirit, and I love this part, his Spirit will come to dwell in his people. His Spirit, that's a promise from Ezekiel that we have, that his Spirit will come and dwell in his people. Look at Romans 8, 14 through 17. But you did not receive the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but you received the Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba. Abba, Daddy, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we might also be glorified together. So we have a spirit of adoption by which we cry out, Abba, Father. Now this was also really cool. In ancient Jewish tradition, the bride would leave her family and go and join the groom's family, many times living in the home with the groom's father for a period of time. Unlike what my wife told me, no, I'm just playing. Unlike the verse at the beginning where it says, a man will leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife and the two will become. Well, actually, in ancient Jewish tradition, the bride would go and live with the groom's family. And so part of the reason why a mohar was given, part of the reason why there was a dowry, okay, given, was, the bridal price, was that the family that the bride was leaving was losing something. Okay, they were losing this daughter who by then was old enough to help and help the family and everything, and they were losing that. The bride's family was losing that and coming over to the groom's family. The groom family was gaining a new person in the home that could help that home. And so that was part of the reason for that price that was paid. But the interesting thing that I see here, the interesting thing is that we have a spirit of adoption, okay, that has been given to us. We've been adopted into the fathers of our groom, of our bridegroom, into his family, haven't we? According to Scripture. We have a spirit of adoption. We go and we join his family. And it says here, sometimes living in a nook, or in a little place for a while within the Father's house. Okay? All who have gone before us, I mean, we're still alive right now. We still have the Holy Spirit living in us. But guess what? If you die right now as a believer, you instantly go to where? To that place. Now, it's not the final place that God has prepared for us yet. It's not the final place that Yeshua has prepared for his whole bride. No, but you go to be with the Father. You go to be with the Lord. Your spirit goes and you are with him and you're at peace, according to Scripture. But one day he's coming back only when his Father says it's ready, when he's prepared the place for the whole bride, for all of us, that he is working on right now. Because he said, I go to prepare a place for you. Okay? He's going to return, and we're going to be raised in new glorified bodies, and we're going to be called up to be with him, and it says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. And we're going to have a feast. According to Scripture, we are going to celebrate with him, with our bridegroom. We're going to have a marriage feast, a wedding feast, and that's going to be a time. And you know what? It's very interesting about that. Potentially, that feast might go on for 7 days, called the Feast of Sukkot. Know where I got this from? I've just been reading Revelation. You can read Revelation like a, well, let's see, how do I put this nicely? You can totally take all the Jewishness out of Revelation and try to explain everything with supposition and your own understanding, or you can read Revelation according to Scripture. Scripture always backs up Scripture. And I can tell you over and over again, there's things in Revelation, most things, maybe not all, but most things in Revelation have other places in Scripture that they're talked about. And it's all understood from the Jewish perspective. Well, guess what? In Revelation 7, I think it's 7, don't quote me on it, I don't have time to look it up because I have to hurry. Anyways, Revelation, it talks about that at one point they will all be around the throne waving palm branches, worshiping the Lord. They'll have white robes and they'll be waving palm branches. And what it says is the Lord will be their shelter from then on, and he will shelter with them or dwell with them. And no more will they experience heat or discomfort, and he will wipe every tear from their eyes. But what are they doing? Waving palm branches. What did we just get done doing? Wave palm branches at Sukkot, which goes on for 7 days. Which sounds a lot like 7 years. Now, listen, if we are taken up, this is, I know, pre-trib rapture. I'm not dogmatic. But if we are taken up at the beginning of the tribulation period, we potentially have 7 years of celebration with the Lord. There'll be people added as we're going along. 7 years of celebration with him, waving those palm branches. It says a great number that no one could number from every nation, every tongue, every language will be up there waving these branches and worshiping the Lord. I look forward to that. Don't get me wrong. I've said this many times. We are not going to escape tribulation or persecution. You and I should go through it just like all believers should go through it. Because guess what? We will share in his glory if we share in his suffering. That's part of it. We don't like that part, do we? Don't like to think about that. But there will be some suffering. Now, for you and me, it might not be so bad. The Lord knows I'm a wuss, so I can't take a lot of pain. He knows that. I'm trusting him on that. Okay, I'm trusting it'll be fast and quick or whatever. Okay, but there will be some suffering. But with his grace, whatever he calls us to go through, we can go through. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Whatever he calls you and me to go through, we don't need to worry about that. Why are we worrying about that now? We need to be living for him today, walking in his spirit today. Don't worry about 10, 20, 30, however many years it might be from now. Some of you will probably already be with the Lord by then. And you'll escape all this craziness. Either way, we need to trust the Lord. Okay, so the spirit of adoption. Oh, wait, hold on, back up one. The spirit of God living in us means that we are now part of the family of God. And he is our Father. The Spirit of God living in us says we are part of the family of God, and he is our Father. It is the Spirit that bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit of God says you are the children of God. It bears witness with our spirit. Finally, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. There's a whole bunch more we could talk about with the Holy Spirit, but we're going to close with this verse. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Fear of anything other than him. We should have a fear of the Lord, but that's a different kind of fear. But God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power That word for power, well, first of all, let's look at the word for fear. The word for fear is dilia, which is timidity, fearfulness. But God has given us a spirit of power, dynamite, dynamice. It's where dynamite comes from. Okay? Just imagine that. You and I have the spirit of dynamis in us, spirit of power. You and I have power within us that if God chose to unleash it, mountains could be moved and cast into the sea. Does that sound familiar? If you have faith as a mustard seed, that's the kind of power that is within us. Why? It's not our power, it's the Holy Spirit. Force, specially miraculous power, ability, abundance, meaning, might, miracle, power, strength, all these things. The wonderful work of God. This is what this is. God has given us the spirit of power. That means you and I do not look at a problem or a challenge the same way an unbeliever looks at it. If God is telling us to go through that door and it's closed, we believe he will blow that door open. If God tells us to go through that mountain, we believe he'll make a way. Or we'll walk through the door even though it's closed. Power. The impossible. God is the God of the impossible. I'm looking at some impossibilities right now as I look around the room. Because of the power of the Holy Spirit, I am an impossibility. It's God's work, God's power, not ours. Love, spirit of power, the spirit of love, agape love, affection, benevolence, charity. Love. And finally, a sound mind. We could go on and on about love. But finally, a sound mind. He's given us a spirit of a sound mind. That's a spirit of discipline, a spirit of self-control, of sound mind. Okay? God isn't crazy. If you're confused, that does not come from the Holy Spirit. That comes from the enemy. Confusion comes from the enemy. And you know, when we're confused, what we need to do is not say, "Satan, in the name of Yeshua." What we need to do is what it says in Scripture. Submit yourself to God. Then resist the devil and he will flee. It starts with submitting ourselves to God. If we have confusion, that does not come from the Lord. And so that's a very good sign that either our flesh is in control or the enemy somehow has control. And the only way to get free from that is to submit to the Lord, to submit to the things that we know the Lord is telling us to do. There's times that you and I have to go back to something the Lord told us to do and do it before we can move on. Because if we don't, we're traveling all over the place and we're completely lost. So he's given us a spirit of power, his power, of love, love for each other, love for him. The biggest aspect there is that we obey the commandment of our Messiah, Yeshua, which says, love each other as I have loved you. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. These are all things that the Holy Spirit directs us to do and leads us to do. And finally, self-discipline, sound mind. So Lord, this morning we thank you for your Ruach HaKodesh, your Holy Spirit. We ask, Lord, that you will continue to fill us, overflow us with your Spirit. And Lord, that means less of us and more of you. That means that we have to die to our flesh. We have to submit ourselves to you. Lord, that we need to be led by you and not by our own desires and our own wants. So, Lord, I pray for your leading in each one of our lives. And, Lord, I pray when we think that someone else is not being led by the Spirit, that we will pray for them, that we will ask you will do the work, that you will show them, that you will direct them, Lord. Lord, that we will love each other, that we will put others before ourselves. And Lord, we thank you for your love and your goodness, that you are an example of that because you put us before yourself. And you died on the cross for our sin, taking all of our burden, taking all of our sickness, taking all of our confusion, all of our sin you took upon yourself so that we could walk in the freedom of the Holy Spirit, that we could operate in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that we could operate with the fruit of the Holy Spirit. You gave us your Spirit. And Lord, it's just going to get better. Because when we're done with this life, we're in your presence, never to be taken away. And Lord, when you return for your body, when you return for your bride, we will be caught up to meet you in the air. We will have new glorified bodies. And it says, so we shall ever be with the Lord. Lord, we look forward to that day. Whenever that comes, whenever that is, Lord, it's the day that your Father says, it's time. We look forward to that day. We anxiously look for your appearing. We look up to you, Lord. We look forward to you. We desire your return. At the same time, Lord, we desire to fulfill what you have for us, the calling that you have for each one of us, Lord. And to do your will and to accomplish your work here, Lord. And there's many, many people who need to know about you. There's many more that need to come in to a knowledge, Lord, of a saving knowledge of Yeshua, our Messiah, of Jesus, our Savior, and the work that you have done for them that makes them right with God. And Lord, help us to love each other. Not in a lovey-dovey, false sort of way, but Lord, as a real family. With our struggles, with our trials, and yet the love unifying us, Lord. The love that you have for us and the love that we have for each other. Lord, that's what you prayed for, and we know your prayer will definitely be answered. So Lord, we humble ourselves, and we seek you, and we pray all of this in Yeshua's name. Amen.